need to get things warmed up here. Trying to close as many windows as I can. I don't get it. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to what is.
Kufar Akbar, everybody, hello. This is, once again, Radio Free Kafir Stand, a radio program dedicated to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence for both of these faiths in order to arrive at the truth that leads us to this end. Thus go I. Shalom, peace, and blessings. This, again, is your humble host, Eric Thekafer, coming to you live from the cavernous depths of the Kafir Cave in Dar al-Harb, Kafiristan. We are here every Tuesday evening on the Global Patriot Radio Network, on Blog Talk Radio, and on StreamYard. We are streaming to three different locations, the Radio Free Kafiristan Facebook page, Cross and Crescent Facebook page, and, of course, the YouTube channel, The Cross and the Crescent. We're here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, every Tuesday. Let me scroll down here. Remember, of course, I say this every week, a kafir is somebody that does not heed the beliefs and prescriptions held by the religion of Islam. This isn't according to kafirs. This is according to the new Encyclopedia of Islam. So Kafiristan is Dar al-Harb. That is the house of war. You have Dar al-Islam, where the Sharia Islamia, or the Islamic law, is applied, and then you have Dar al-Harb, the house of war, where it's not, and we are solidly ensconced in Dar al-Harb here, because if we were in Dar al-Islam, we would probably all be in some pretty deep trouble. If you want to call into the show, the telephone number is area code 319-527-6706. Again, area code 319-527-6706. I got to run over here to the board, make sure I didn't miss anything. Today we're going to be talking about what is Islam. And I'm not going to provide a long, lengthy definition of what it is and what it isn't, but we're going to get some examples today of, it should be more aptly described, of what happens when people practice Islam. And before I turn it over to our dear lady Connie, I wanted to show you guys something that I ran across today that was actually pretty scary. And what they were doing is they were showing kids going to summer camp. I mean, when we think of kids going to summer, I've taught at our local church camp before. And, you know, you have kids that, you know, everywhere from, you know, 8 years old all the way up to, you know, junior, seniors in high school. And they, you know, you always have this innocence when you go to camp, wanting to have fun. You play games. You have built bonfires. You go to the lake and swim. You know, you do all kinds of fun at camps. But there's two guys that have a YouTube channel. It is called the Joshua and Caleb Network. I don't know if you guys have ever been to their channel before, but it is worth a look. How many subscribers do they have? They have, let's see, it doesn't say here. I thought it would, but it doesn't. It says, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so what they did was they took a look at what do kids in the Gaza Strip go for summer camp. And folks, they're not embellishing this stuff. This is scary stuff. Let me just give you a quick show of what they discovered. I'm not going to belabor the point, but here is a camp that they discovered. And And they compare it to, of course,
little children laughing, playing. You know, so not. And by the way, this is a recent video right here, because this came just as the God to Israel. So this is going to give parents nightmares. This does not look like what should be happening in your local summer camp. This footage probably all comes from God. That's the God's truth. Okay, I like those things are fun to climb on. But shooting guns from them. I've never seen
shooting
one.
A gun.
Going on head first. And what it's saying here, and by the way, this video is from an organization called Reporting Basically by God. Where is the press? Why? Because there is a lot of mainstream press.
Well, like New York.
All right, I wanted to give you just a brief look at that, and it's a 28 minute video. I think they do a daily show, and they usually put out some pretty good data because they're stationed there in Israel, in Judea and Samaria, or what the rest of the world calls the West Bank, and they report every day. And some of the stuff is just absolutely amazing. All right, so let's go ahead and shift the gears over to Ms. Connie. Connie had she's got quite a bit to say about what she believes Islam is. So, Ms. Connie, you can unmute yourself. There we are. Hello, hello. Are you in your corner? You're not sitting your butt down in the corner. I don't know. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted, because you don't have to do that on this show. I just. Yeah. When I heard that, I just kind of cringed. I said, oh, he was going to say that about her. Because I was just thinking about what your reaction was going to be. But that's okay. All right. Go ahead. You got the mic, ma'am. Okay.
Go to 130. Trying to convince Christians to actually call for the wrath of God upon gays.
Nice guy. All right, let me all right, got full screen. All right, let me hit play. Okay, so how long am I going to let it play for, more or less?
Maybe a minute.
All right, you just come up on mic and tell me. Yeah, just tell me when to stop. Okay, here we go. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay, we can't hear
anything. Yeah, I'm wondering why that is.
God has condemned, and condemned. Some people might say, well, that's an old testament. As a Christian, you're supposed to believe in the testament, but if people...
Yeah, this is typical. Typical.
Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burnt with their lust for one another, for other men, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. This is in the New Testament. What is that penalty? This is verse 26. If you go down to verse number 32, those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is in your book. If you're a Christian, this is your book. You believe in this. Then stick to it. And this is not me calling any kind of penalty or law to be changed. I'm just letting you know what's in your book. Not just those who practice homosexuality, but those who support LGBT rights, according to the Bible, this is their punishment. If we talk about the Quran, then no doubt the story of Islam repeated in the Quran
is
clear that it can.
Yeah, there's only so much we can take of that guy.
He wants to claim that, you know, he's saying that he's not calling for a change of the law, but he just wants us Christians to proclaim that they deserve to die. But he won't read in Romans 2 where it talks about the forbearance and the long-suffering and the patience of God. So he wants us just to jump on and proclaim the wrath of God. Hey, they deserve to die. You know, because Islam, in my opinion, is murder.
And why would you say that? Let's clarify. Let's get that out, because that was one of their. And
okay.
Hold on. Let me just preface this. Okay, what they were talking about, and this is one of the things that is his buddy Charles Doyle is so fixated on. He's so fixated on this this Canadian Islamic family was run over by some psychopath a couple weeks ago, killed four or five of them. And here's his argument. His argument is that people like us, Connie, by saying Islam is murder, or somebody like me that says that Muhammad was not an example to follow at all for any time, at any time, at any place, we are the ones that are inciting people to do heinous crimes like that. Now, let's just juxtapose this just real quick, and we'll get to this, Connie. When you juxtapose those five people being, I think there was five killed. If there were not five killed, there was one of them that survived that suffered some pretty serious injuries. You will find universal condemnation from Christians, from any group, except for maybe the Jonesboro Baptist psychopaths. But you would find universal condemnation of an act like that. And it would be unequivocal. We would not make any, you know, and put any type of prefixers on there. We would say unequivocally, we condemn that action. At the same time, you have 160 Christians machine gunned to death in Nigeria, not a week before that, unprovoked, and nobody said boo. You never hear boo from anybody like the ilks of Charles Doyle. So when Connie gets up here and says that Islam is murder, she's not speaking about people getting machine. Well, she is, but what she was speaking about on that show at that particular time, she was talking about when men follow the Sunnah of Muhammad, and the Sunnah of Muhammad was what when it came to little Aisha. He was 53 and she was 9. She was prepubescent. And he consummated that marriage, thus setting an example for all Muslims to follow forever. So when you have grown men today crawling on top of little girls like that and then consummating their marriages, following the Sunnah of Muhammad, many of them sustain internal injuries because of this, killing them. So what she was talking about at that particular time was the fact that that result, following the Sunnah of Muhammad, is essentially murder.
Yes, many little girls have died because of that on their wedding night, because they're little girls. Surah 65:4 gives a mandate. They can divorce them when they're prepubescent, and that means they've consummated the marriage, you know, and unfortunately some of them have died in this day and time.
Yeah, 2021. It's disgusting. And when you engage them on that topic, and I think I'm going to start just kind of gradually moving away from that, because it's like talking to a wall when you do this. But really, I mean, it's just maddening. When is it okay? Right. When is it okay?
I want to add one thing, too, from that clip that I don't think you understand. You tried to quote Romans. The
show, descriptive versus prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the worst case scenario is that the Apostle Paul is making this argument that this is equivalent to this situation, that this is so bad, this act is so bad, that this is what happens. First of all, it's not even talking about homosexuality. When we look at these texts, they're talking about public sexual acts that people are doing. So this is an interpretation that people are making nowadays, which is not even what the text is saying, but...
Well, it does say effeminate. He does read it. It does say effeminate in there, you know, which is homosexuality.
Look, I mean, there's a whole, like, this is a postmodern thing. This is not something that... He didn't have this type of culture, historically speaking. It's not... Things have changed throughout time. This type of perspective hasn't always existed. You know what I mean? That this, the LGBTQIA plus movement is not something that always...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. We didn't have it. Yeah, it's not talking about transsexual and all this stuff.
None of that.
Yeah, he's lumping them all into effeminate and everything. Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
And also, we have to be, it's important to understand, this is prescriptive versus, so if the Apostle Paul believed, if he took the position that this is a legalistic crime that people need to be, their heads need to be cut off, for example, wouldn't he have performed that? He didn't do that.
Exactly right.
He did not do
and
that.
Jesus, right? None of us would have gotten saved. We're all guilty of sin. You break one law, you break the whole law. You're a lawbreaker. That means you're dead.
So I think it's deeply, I'm like, this is not a fair thing. And also, he wants to bring up the scriptures. These are prescriptive laws for the Israelite people. So that doesn't even make, it's not a logical argument. So I'm like, clearly he doesn't understand the Hebrew scriptures at all. So he's like, I'm just doing this because I want to kill people, and I'm...
Islam is murder.
I want to do murderous, horrible things, so now I want to get people to join up with me in doing these things. So,
It's really a lame argument because he's trying to get the Jews and the Christians onto his side and going, man, look, it's in there. Look, it's in there. And it's like, buddy, you know, I mean, wow.
Well, you know, the key thing that it's...
I want to point that out because it's of that spirit. It's a spirit.
Well, here's one obvious elephant in the room. When we start talking about, you know, he alludes to, you know, difference between something that's prescriptive versus something that is descriptive. And, you know, the Old Testament is full of descriptive passages where God commands the Israel, you know, and the biggest one is what I can't even remember which tribe they had them attack at the Amalekites. There we go. Yeah, it was the Amalekites. Okay. So that is a descriptive event. Whereas today, when we look at the prescriptive applications of what happens in Islam, it's completely different. Because if we were to apply what this what's this guy's name? Uthman? Okay, if we were to apply these type of things today, people would be screaming from the mountaintops. They would. I mean, this is absolutely insanity. Why are Christians? Why aren't you doing this? Well, it's because we had maybe a Reformation. Maybe we're allowed to look at our scriptures and interpret them where they're not so brutal or hateful towards other people. I don't know. I mean, if you're coming away from sacred scripture, a message from God, and that message is telling you you need to kill other people, there might be a problem there. And if you apply that today, that is something scary, because if you look at what Christianity does today compared to what they say it does, two completely different things. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Paul's just laying the foundation that, you know, sin, you know, the soul that sins shall die. And then, but he doesn't end there. You know, because he's saying, you know, in Romans 2, you know, what about you, old man, that you know, you're a sinner, you do the same thing, you know, and then you want to judge everybody else, but you're not looking at the forbearance, the patienceness of God, so you're going to heap judgments because your heart is hardened, you know, so he's laying the foundation of saying, look, you're a sinner, yes, you deserve to die, but... Wait a minute, here comes the salvation of God. You know, and that's where Sheikh Uthman doesn't want to go to. He wants us to stay on focusing on, you're going to have the wrath of God. You're going to have the wrath of God. Well, he needs to be pointing it at his own self. And, you know, and he's not giving, you know, wanting to point next to the grace of God, you know, that saves men's lives. You know, that just really ticked me off when I saw that the other day, so.
Well, he's another one of those scripture twisters, twisted to,
he wants to twist it to Islam. He wants to say, see, here it is, and look, okay, this is
this?
Kind of what we preach.
Rob K., yeah, Rob K., this is Rob describes it probably the best here. Deflect. Deflect,
divert, distract, and deny.
Right, and I think a lot of it is projection. And this is one of the things that and they do it very effectively too. They project their own faults, their own shortcomings from their scripture, and they try to project that onto Christianity.
They accuse, and that's how Islam is too. Is it can rarely make a point. You know, you need to believe in Allah because Allah is all-knowing and all-merciful. Where is Allah all-merciful when he just got finished telling the husband to beat your wife? And then you have to have the tafsirs to say, oh no, with a little toothbrush there.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah.
To warn the woman, you know, they're adding. They are doing the inventing. Muhammad invented, or whoever invented Islam, and here comes more men to invent Islam and add to it. It's all falsehood. And, people end up dying because of it, and that's the point. And that's why we stand.
I would seriously like to drop round of all these westernized reverends and then drop them off in the serious Muslim countries and have them try and convince, the Muslims that speak the Arabic language, that study the Quran, study the Hadiths, know their religion, drop them off, okay, in this, and say, hey, go evangelize them, tell them their version of Islam that they've been practicing for about 1,400 years is wrong. And to be honest, again, you don't even know which version of Islam they're practicing is true, because if you look back at it, all it takes is one to say something and then
many times they end up just fighting each other. You know, there's no spirit of God there. It's just fighting and dissension among themselves.
Well, look at the first four caliphs. Three of them were murdered. The first four caliphs were married, murdered. Is that funny? Yeah, well, Chris does that quite a bit. Chris, I mean, he does that very well. He goes, "Oh yeah, like I'm going to have a Muslim try to teach me about what the Bible says." Share your screen and do it that way.
Other than your own mind. they differ, is the amount of time given to repent. One scholar says that you come there because of death immediately. Other scholars say you're supposed to get 2 weeks, etc. They also differ on females. Okay, should the female, one school says the female should just be locked away, kept away from everyone. Okay, put in the best. Other schools say that she should be killed, but again, the amount of time for them to repent differs. But then you got another problem. You're living in Islamic, say the Islamic caliphate. You got to go by whatever scholar they say, right? Whatever scholars have established their Islamic jurisprudence, and maybe by jurisdiction, maybe by difference. Just on this issue, there's no unifying thing. So you can let's limit this to an Islamic country. Islamic country is divided up into districts, right? Country, and they give judges to each district, county, whatever. Okay? All right. Well, let's say in one county, you've got the one scholar that follows that, male should be given 2 weeks to repent. Okay? And another district says that, they should be killed right on site. Again, depending on where you live, is it depending on how much time you've got to commit the crime?
Yeah, that just shows all the division within Islam. You know, there's no agreement, like Eric was saying, there's no standard really.
Start pulling it up there.
Real funny sick story. And I actually should have told you about this because I could be a resident. I used to tell Moses to bell talk when they were defending Aisha, especially the women. I would tell them, you got a 9-year-old daughter. He said, I'll convert to Islam if you're over there right now. And I was felt sick and disgusted and a pervert. I'm like, yeah, how do you know? But no, seriously, some people in law enforcement actually contacted me and said, dude, you better stop doing that. Because what happens?
Well, it's in books everywhere. Yeah, it's in books, and they claim that Muhammad prophesied that the Quran's going to be in every household. And guess what it says in that book? Same thing that you are saying. And they're doing it in a lot of Islamic countries.
I hear you. No, actually, I don't own the Quran. I just didn't know
I study them. I've got about firearms now, and then I've got the Reliance of the Traveler. So I love to study. I'm a studier.
What are you going to do, Brad? I didn't catch it. I'm sorry. Oh, that, well, I don't know. That'd be a waste. I mean, I don't know. I would, you could. Yeah.
Hey,
go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, the, you know, Rad was saying that he put the, on next to the toilet. I just want to say that, that is what it's called in one, in the Huff version, but in the Welsh version, the word toilet is actually translated throne. And so, you know, so I just want to say that it is in an honorable position, depending on which reputation you have.
Now, okay, yeah, let's keep that on the down low. I'm trying to find the Quran. One of the Qurans that I own is was translated by Usama Dutduk.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys want to buy a good Quran, one that's appropriately translated in the context. Generous Quran is what it's called, yeah. And better yet, not go straight to the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and buy it from him directly. That way they don't get away to...
Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at some of your memes here. Where am I? Right there you are.
And we'll prove Islam is murder. Jalalain also confirms this. Muhammad had a word to speak, who converted by the sword, and even in cold blood, he would murder, okay? So you've got that in Quran 5, or excuse me, Quran 9, verse 5, Quran 9:29, and also Qurtubi. Here's his volume there. Then if you scroll down, so there's murder, okay? Keep on scrolling down till you see the little blurb again. A little bit more. Number four. Yeah.
Where am I? Yeah. Oh, there we are. Attempted suicide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Muhammad committed attempted suicide more than once. So, you know, if Islam is so much peace, why is the dude trying to kill himself more than once? See?
Well, I think the first time that they mentioned that he tried to do it is because, you know,
he didn't hear from Gabriel because
well, no. After he first, you know, because he goes out to the Hira cave and he's sitting in his cave, and he's waiting for a revelation. He's waiting for you know, an angel to show. And one finally shows up, and it terrifies him, so he becomes suicidal. Yeah, he's suicidal now. Well, dude, this is what you were waiting for. You wanted the angel to come to you. He finally comes, and now you want to kill yourself? That makes no sense in the world.
Underneath the carpet, you know, I mean, yeah, just trying to hide himself, and geez, you know, I mean where's the peace? Where is the peace? You know?
That's an interesting contrast. If you look at any of the heavenly divine manifestations in the Bible, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, true, the people are like falling on their face, and some of them die because they're terrified and terrific, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you would be, I mean, you have this 12,000 bed. I'm not one of them. I mean, this is something you can see about your knees.
Right. Where is that book at that he was supposed to respite from.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I've heard Muslims say that the Quran is not a book, it's a recitation. Okay, then how is Allah reading a recitation? It doesn't make any sense.
That's right. Then they just proved that he can read.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So it, either or they try, it is a fumbled, jumbled book that it makes no sense, and it just insults the Muslims' intelligence, and thank God that they are many, many, many are leaving, and Jesus, the Lord, God Almighty, is saving them.
Would you guys like to get into a discussion of Tawheed and Trinity?
No. This is my show right now, Rav.
Oh, it's your show.
Islam is murder.
Yep, I'm bringing it up right now. Let's bring this one up.
Okay, this is on his little thing. Uthman's trying to teach Christians to at least proclaim a punishment of death upon homosexuals, transsexuals, LGBTQRSTUVW. It's like 26 letters now.
Yeah, we covered this at the beginning. Yeah, we did this at the beginning of the show. Let me find another one. How about this one?
Yeah, this is a good... Okay, this was a warning. This was when, I believe, the divine inspirations had paused for a while, and then he went on the top of the mountain. He wanted to kill himself, and lo and behold, here comes Gabriel to flatter him and say, no, you are the message of God. So that's just showing in their own Islamic sources that he wanted to commit suicide more than once, several times. You know, I mean, so if the man that is proclaiming what Islam is, if he's trying to kill himself a couple times, then that should throw off a whole bunch of red flags right there.
Christians, and do you guys know of any prophet in the Old Testament that wanted to kill themselves? Just wondering. The answer is no.
No, sir.
It had to be at least one or two. Now, come on, there's 12,000 of them or whatever. No?
I know, right. No. Well, if they're Islamic prophets, then I agree with that, because you can read in their own documents, okay, their own hadiths. Okay, so that's one. Do we have another one to share?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Here, Islam is going to tell you the only reward of those who make war upon Allah and His Messenger. And I want to say this, that Islam is the one that's making war, not the other people. They weren't killing themselves. You don't have any history where people are killing themselves in the Middle East there. Okay, but anyway, and strive after corruption in the land will be that they will be killed or crucified or have their hands and feet on alternate sides cut off or kick them out of your land. Such will be their degradation in this world, and in the hereafter, theirs will be an awful doom. You know, I mean, if this doesn't just spread out Islam is hate, and Islam is murder, then you're not paying attention to the words that are being said here.
Yeah, when you run, this was actually brought up during that. Let me see if I can find this Quran. There we go. Was brought up during the show because Kenny said that I was causing corruption in the land. And we made kind of a big deal out of this. And we find this that's what your meme's about, is 533.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get down here, who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and cause corruption, Well, what is the punishment for those who cause corruption? Killed or crucified, hands, feet, you know. So when we're looking at, you know, when you say somebody is causing corruption, well, what are you basically doing? You're putting a bullseye on their back is essentially what you're doing. You're telling people, look, he's causing corruption. You can do what you want to him now. And I know, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Okay. Yeah. And tell that to, what was that French teacher's name? Sandy Patty, or what was that guy's name?
It was Samuel Patty.
Yeah. I mean, Samuel Patty, the one that's missing his head now because it was said that he was spreading corruption by showing cartoons of Muhammad, and that really didn't work out well for him. All right.
We're working to get our sponsors back, so we have to point out that that verse about killing and crucifying and all that fun stuff is based on the Hadith. Seriously, that is the explanation of this verse, is that these people came down from some area, they got dehydrated.
Oh, that's right.
And Muhammad gave them camel pee and milk to drink, and they got better. And for some reason, because that's what you do after somebody makes you better, you go off and you slaughter all the camels and the camel shepherd, and you make your great escape. That makes no sense. But then they killed them, they crucified them, and then it's chopped off, and they know the order of things is important. They killed them, chopped off your limbs, and then they crucified them. Because, you know, that's what they do.
And it's funny how the Tafsirs know more than Allah does, because Allah didn't even say any of that.
Either way, remember, drinking camel pee will cause you to go off and kill camels.
Yeah, I would avoid that. Just saying. That's,
for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's put this one up here. Can you read that, Connie?
Let's see. She quoted, and he said, some people of this place or this tribe came to Medina, and its climate...
No, not that. No, not that. No, your meme there.
Oh,
your meme.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I can, because this is Word, and oops. All right, is that any better? Yeah, okay, remember when your Lord inspired the angels, verily, I am with you, so keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who have disbelieved, so strike them over the necks and smite over all their fingers and toes.
Terror and beheading. Look at this, man. Look at this. And the funny thing is remember, he's talking to Arabs. How are the Arabs in that day and time? How are they to remember that the Lord inspired the angels, for one thing? They didn't know anything about anything. Okay. And then the Jews and Christians, you want to say, okay, well, he's talking to the Jews and Christians. Where is this out in the Bible? It's not nowhere. This is a bold-faced lie.
He's insulting
holy angels. Holy
but
angels.
They're only going to kill the Jews and Christians when the rocks and trees tell them to.
True that. So where in this is Islam all peace and nice, and like Khatun says, they're going to give you flowers and candy and everything else, and Islam is peace. Where is Islam peace in here? This is supposed to be an Islamic doctrine saying, remember, where is Allah inspiring angels to do peace and love and joy and giving flowers and candy?
I want to tie something this into American history, if you guys don't mind, where it says that to strike them. I think, what is this, 9-5? Is that what that is from? Or what is that from? This 8? 12. Anyway, it's to strike their necks. Okay, it's to strike their necks. All right. So when you look at the Marine Corps, one of the nicknames for a jar, I'm sorry, a marine jarhead, is a leatherneck. And the reason why they call them leathernecks is because during the Barbary Pirate Wars, if you know what the Barbary Pirate Wars, those are the series of wars that we fought against the Barbary pirates in North Africa and Tripoli, and they were Islamic. And one of the things, one of the fiercest things that they would do to when they would board ships and they would fight is they would strike at the neck. So the Marines would take leather, pieces of leather, and wrap them around their necks because they knew that was the main target that these Barbary pirates would aim for. And this nickname, Leathernecks,
wow,
kind of stuck to the Marines.
I never knew that. I wonder if Ron knows that. He's ex-military, too. So, yeah, because they have read the Quran.
Jefferson,
they have
yeah.
They have the Quran. Yes, they and, you know, the other Muslims in this country, they say, well, see, the Quran was in this country. Yeah, we were reading it to learn about who our enemy was that was doing all this pirating stuff. Near Tripoli. And all of this.
Well, the problem was, go ahead, Rhett, but I'll tell you what the problem was. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, he was just. Well, here's why Jefferson gained an interest in it, and it wasn't because for its religious value. It was for an economic value. When the Peshwa, the new ruler in Tripoli, started making demands, paying jizya is basically what it was, paying this tribute to him, he started increasing it. So when Jefferson becomes president, it almost is half. Now listen to this. It's almost totals half of our budget for our country. So we would be paying half of our money to the Peshwa, the ruler in Tripoli, just so we could trade in Mediterranean. And Jefferson's like, well, where the heck does he get? Where does this guy get off doing this? And at the same time, we're having problems with the French. We're having problems with the British because they're both fighting each other, and they're trying to get us to come out on their side or not trade with the other ones. At the same time, you got this guy sitting in Tripoli saying, "Hey, look, you know, you're going to pay us half of your budget in order to try, you know, in order to continue to trade in the Mediterranean." And Jefferson's like, "What the heck am I supposed to do? We're going to pay you, really?" He didn't. That's why they call it the Barbary Pirate Wars.
Jefferson said, oh, yeah, you push while I'm pushing back. You
know? Yeah, there you go.
And that's when he read the find out all about
it. Not Charles Boyle. Send in the Marines, except for him.
In these days, the Muslims say, oh, that's just a poor tax. It's a poor tax. Like, you know what? I ain't paying you one penny. That's my money. It isn't your money.
Where do they get this poor tax? Where did you hear this?
Yeah, that's what they say. I read that a lot on
Who would say that? I don't understand. I mean.
Yeah, the Muslims say that, like on Facebook, and you'll hear them on YouTube saying that it's just a poor tax. You know, like, see, it's okay if we come in here and we set up the Sharia law. You know, man, I'm gonna have to go out and come back in. I'm echoing back.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to cover poor tax for you. If you look at the poor tax, this jizya that is number one, Muslims don't have to pay the jizya. That's the most important part of that. But number two, anybody that is non-Muslim is not entitled to any type of payments or anything like that. And we got Connie sitting in the back. I wonder if she'd like it if I just left her in the back there in the corner. I don't. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that there. No, I'm not doing it. I let her in. All right, let's go to this next one.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, no.
And just take a poor tax from us and take more and more and more and more and more. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, like this one.
In America, we have our own constitution.
Yeah, poor tax to support.
Tax to support Hamas.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Iran. If you guys have been watching Iran,
What were you going to say?
Nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. Okay, let's just move along. Yes, here we go.
This is a nice fun one. Sarah 3, I-151. And I'm still, I don't know what the deal is going on.
Well, I'll read it. Okay, it says, we shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve because they joined others in worship with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. Their abode will be the fire, and how evil is the abode of the Zalaman, polytheist and wrongdoers.
Man, I am still echoing, buddy. Can you fix it?
Let me try it. I'm not hearing it. Edit mic settings, echo, cancel. How about now?
Yeah, it's good.
Is that good?
Yeah. That's perfect, I think. Well, no, I hear it still. But
okay, hold on. Automatically. Okay, try it now.
Testing. Yeah, that's good.
All right.
A little bit better.
Well, I'm going to drop your volume down a little bit, too. Let me do this. Drop your volume automatically. All right, how about now?
Okay, that sounds really good.
All right, I just dropped your volume. Maybe your volume was too high.
And see, I'm still echoing. Go back up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and read it again, and it's like, it has to insult us. Well, because they did this, so this is happening. Oh, yeah, we added, right? We added associates to Allah. Shall cast terror into the hearts of the faith.
Oops, sorry.
Faithless because of their ascribing partners to Allah. Who in their right mind would want to ascribe a partner to an Islamic murderous ideology? Nobody. So actually, Islam is just arguing with itself because it's lying. No one would ever want to join an Islamic Allah. No one.
Well, when they're talking about us describing Christ, but but the sad part is, here's the sad part. The sad part is that they actually believe, now they won't ever admit it today, but they actually believe that we were ascribing partners, where we did not believe in this Trinity. We believed in three separate gods. We believed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Mother Mary. That was the early teachings of yellow.
Insult them so they can kill people. See,
sure.
And that's what Islam does. It sets itself up. It's got to throw a lie in there to do what? To murder people. That's why Islam is murder. So it's going to throw any lie. Oh, they're doing this, so go and kill them. Oh, they're doing this. They broke this treaty. Go kill them. Where is this treaty at that they always speak of? Where is it at? Where is all those words at? Where's the proof? Never found. Let's see. Yeah, needs to go to, yeah.
Yeah, and you talk about an ingrate. She marries a brother. Just to get even out of that,
that really shows you how weak a lot of people are.
Yeah,
some people did something.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's your handsome dapper dude here with his shirt.
Yeah, helping the Western world. Boy, I'm still echoing.
We got to get
the murder of Islam.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, we need to wear that into Hyde Park.
I know. I want to do a picture like that. I want to either make a couple and then also send them to Hatun to wear.
I think
she's got her cartoons that she's having fun with.
Yeah, she's got enough problems the way it is. Crying out, you wear something like that into Hyde Park. Holy crap. Okay, what is this one? The only reward for those who make war upon Allah and his messenger and strive after the... Oh, this is... Okay, that's 933. And then 812. Verily, I am with you, so keep... I will cast terror. Oh, okay. All right, so let me back out of that.
Western world to Islam is a murder. I mean, and it's right there in their book. So, you know, if they want to fight, fuss and fight, you know, all what they're doing is insulting Muhammad for saying these things and claiming that Gabriel and saying that Allah told Gabriel, you know, so they're only fighting their own religion. They're only fighting the Quran. They're fighting Muhammad. They're fighting their Jibril. And they're fighting against the law because we're saying what it says. It's plain and simple. There it is. Allah says that it's a plain book, and we can read it. And these translations are translated by Islamic scholars. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And
Islamic scholars, right. We're not I'm not going to Usama Dakdak because they'll go, oh, no, da-da-da-da. Okay, so I get it from Mohsen Khan, from Yusuf Ali, from, you know, some tafsirs, from Ibn Abbas, Jalalain, Ibn Kathir. I mean, that's their top three right there, buddy. You know.
Well, I was going to point out what apostasy is under Islam. Is to speak words that imply unbelief, such as Allah is a third of three. But then what you alluded to something here, to deny a verse of the Quran or anything which by scholarly consensus belongs to it. So that's a
seers, you know, I mean, we're giving them exactly what they claim that they believe in. And then when we say it, they, you know, they call foul. They say, Connie, sit down in the corner and shut up until you're being spoken to. I'm saying, this isn't going to happen because I'm just showing what is what Muslim scholars have said.
Mm-hmm.
That's more people they're fighting against. They're fighting against their own Muslim scholars.
Well, what I find just completely amazing is the arrogance of, you know, of trying to tell people to shut up or trying to silence people. I mean, if you cannot engage on topic, and the only recourse you in a debate, and we've had him on, I don't know how many times he's been on, and given him all kinds of times to speak, but if you cannot engage honestly and defend your prophet, you cannot defend the Quran, then perhaps you ought to develop new arguments or leave Islam. But that's not what happens. They attack those people who actually, you know, point these things out. They belittle them, thinking that this is a Sharia-compliant country. And that they'll be able to do that, and that you can't. We have, I mean, this is America. You can't tell me to shut up.
America, we have our own constitution. Saudi Arabia has their own constitution and their Quran, and some of those mutawafif, or however you say hadith, that's fine. They're in their own country, you know, but not in America. We've got our own constitution. Way it is.
Right, and you know, they might be able to get away with doing this. Well, they might be able to get away with doing this maybe in France or in England, where you don't have complete freedom of speech. There are limits, several limits that they place on it. There, there was one. Yeah, they've capitulated for the most part. You know, if you look at
they had.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you. If you will not stand up for your little girls like England did, you know, you look at all those rape gangs going through there in Rotterdam. I mean, 1,200 girls. If you will not stand up to defend little girls in your country, you've lost. You have absolutely lost the war.
Yeah, and they turn it around and say, oh, well, you know, you weren't dressed, you know, all the way. You had shorts on or a skirt. So what? That's... Man, God didn't make us for us to be covered head to toe with only our fingers showing, you know, and one eyeball. you know, geez.
You know, here's kind
and
of
they turn
them
around and they say that it's the woman's fault. They put the blame on her.
Well, here's kind of thing on the Islamic dress too. In the Saudi Arabian desert, yeah, you would want to be dressed that way, okay? Because you got to block that UV radiation, or you're not going to last long. But if you take that same Islamic dress and you put it in northern climates, okay, or just like say go out to Seattle, where they get like sunshine one day out of the year, you know what I mean? That you're not going to do very well in vitamin D production,
yep.
health-wise, okay?
Yep.
So
yep.
What they've done is they're standardizing the way of dress that was in 7th century Arabian desert, which, yeah, does make sense, okay? Because that's how you should dress, okay? If you want to protect your skin and stuff like that. But then you throw it into northern, western climates, or even southern, colder climates as well. It's not going to work out very well for you. It's going to have detrimental effects on your human physiology, on your skin, on your bone density, I mean, all kinds of stuff that vitamin D production is related to. It's just a disaster, period.
I talked to a lady like that. I saw a lady in a Sprouts, and I said, you know, make sure that, you know, you get enough sun for vitamin D, you know, and, you know, that's just having a caring heart for someone. But yeah, I have thought about that and talked to a Muslim lady about that.
All right, let's go to your, we have this one. I didn't know if you want to talk about this one yet or not.
You know, just the rebuttal to and the correction to Sheikh Uthman is the true grace of God is where we stand. So you get this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 12. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, or drunkens, or revelers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, boy, I'm echoing. But all things are not expedience better. All things, I'm echoing.
I'm sorry, I don't know what to say about it.
I know, I don't know what the deal is. Just read 12.
Okay, well, 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
So, you know, Uthman's wanting just for us to proclaim the wrath of God. You deserve to die. You deserve to die. You deserve to die. But the word of God right there says, and some were such of you. You were like this.
Mm-hmm.
God came. He washed you. He sanctified you. He justified you in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. So what do you want? You just want to murder people? Boy, I'm echoing still.
I'm sorry, Connie. I don't know what to do about it. You want to come back, try to pop out and come back in? Okay. Yeah, I wanted to jump to, let me pop this up over here. I go to this website just about every. This is thereligionoops.com, and on this website, when we start talking about the amount of violence that's committed in the name of Islam on a daily basis. I mean, here's the number right here: 39,497. That's the number of deadly attacks in the last 20 years. It's kind of hard to believe that 9/11, I mean, it's going to be the 20-year anniversary here in just 2 months. It's kind of scary. But one thing that I always look at is I look at this right here. I look at the country these attacks are perpetrated in. So when you go to, you have Iraq, Germany, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Somalia. And if you kept going through these, because they put a running tab here on this and the listing of it. And I could understand if it was just an isolated incident in maybe one country, like let's say Iraq. Iraq is kind of a war torn country, or maybe Afghanistan. But it's not. Look at this. Look at this guy. This is in Germany. You have a migrant, somebody coming to the West, and he stabs women, three women, to death. And he does it screaming, it says, screaming, Allah Akbar. Now, if you scream Allah Akbar, it probably gives you a do an under, or give, let me make it big so everybody can.
This and expose this slave lie to say, hey, God, rising, stand up for your people, you know? Or well, the only you'll have is governments that are corrupt to the core, and then you're going to have Islam that's going to be trying to kill them next, you know?
Yeah, for not speaking out. Right, go ahead, Red.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Hello? Hello? Can anybody hear me? Hello? Hello? There we go. Okay, I can hear you now. I'm sorry. I was cleaning some stuff up and I had... amateur hour. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
They have to be put down and suppressed. That's just my opinion.
When you go to, if you listen to the Monday, if you listen to the Monday show on this network, Mamma Mia No Sharia with Vito Esposito and Big Al Corman, Al often talks about how he wants to protect Muslims from being attacked. And he wants to reform Islam because Islam, I mean, Muslims, the most dangerous people attacking Muslims are other Muslims. And it's sick how these guys justify it. I sat here one night and I watched a video where you had some kid. I think he was from ISIS. I'm almost sure it was ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever. And he is talking about the Shia and how he wants to kill those followers of Ali, and the rage, and he's crying these tears, this absolute abject hatred and rage that he has for a fellow Muslim. It's indescribable, the hatred that they have for each other. And I can't, you know, so when you start saying, you know, we want to protect you guys, you know, we want to protect people from being killed.
We want to protect you from yourself, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Especially the highest innocent, which is the children.
Well, talking about what you said about the ISIS Muslim and the Shia, I don't know if you remember this, but during the reign of ISIS, which honestly, I think ISIS was the best thing for anything else that I really did. But again, that's just me. But this is well documented, well publicized. One of their fighters who was Muslim and he was dying, he called out Ali on his deathbed. Ali was his cousin, okay, and they were very close, okay? You know, he's like, Ali, where are you, Ali? And they were both Sunni Muslim, and they were both there fighting, okay, in the cause of ISIS. Well, other ISIS fighters heard him calling out to Ali, and they thought he was a Shia, so they quickly beheaded him right there. They killed one of their own. and the leadership of ISIS actually came. They had to come out, they had to apologize for this, and they gave, you know, dua or money to the family, and blah, blah, blah. And they punish those involved, which, in other words, I don't know what their punishment was, but they definitely did.
They most likely killed them, too, yeah.
No, I think they did. I think they flogged them or whatever for doing that. But, yeah, so that was a very well-known case. But, yeah, it doesn't matter to them. I mean, again, no matter what, it's like they're demons. Think of the parable. It actually wasn't even a parable. When they came up to Jesus, I think this is if I'm telling this correctly, they said, we're trying to drive these demons out. They keep coming back worse and worse. And Jesus said, you know what? No, actually, yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah, they leave. Yeah,
okay,
they
yeah.
Leave. Well, they clean the house up.
They clean up.
Seven more powers.
Seven more of his buddies worse than the one you drove up. I mean, come on.
Because you don't bind first the strong man. And see, that's basically what we're doing is trying to bind the strong man, which is Islam. And, you know, that way the man, the Muslims are being set free. And for my case, especially the little girls, the little children, and then the apostates.
Anyway, no matter what, either way, no matter what, I don't fear Al-Qaeda, I don't fear ISIS, I fear what comes after them. I actually said this, I don't fear Al-Qaeda, I fear what comes after them, what comes after them was ISIS. And now you've got ISIS, okay? Well, now ISIS is pretty much starting up. It looks like when the Taliban are pretty much going to take over Afghanistan, and that honestly probably will be the best part for that region of the world for the next 1,000 years, hopefully, is if they learn their lesson. You know what I mean? Because clearly, I mean, if you're subscribing to this religion and the population is subscribing to this religion, then what other alternative do you have that to follow this thing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is that barbaric, that incestuous, that venomous, that poisonous, okay? That it is self-destruction, meant to self-destruct. plea that we need to call war against, you know, Islam. That, in other words, isolate containment and keep, let them have, you know, all the Islam they want. And, you know, and they're not killing each other. Once they get tired of killing each other, once they get tired of this, then maybe we can say, okay, maybe you can come and join the rest of the civilized world. And we can deport the Kennys and the Marshalls and the Kennys.
Here's what I hope. I see this through the amount of apostasy that is occurring because people are actually being having access to the history of Islam. They're having access to, you know, you can actually criticize and actually listen to criticisms. And I'm not saying, you know, criticism, oh, Muhammad, you know, married Aisha when she was not. I'm talking about, you know, textual criticism, redacted criticism, source criticisms, all these criticisms that you can now have access to on the internet. And when people are exposed to that type of truth, that will allow them, enable them to question. And this is, you know, Christians have done this, you know, for, you know, centuries now. It allows us to question, you know, should that be in as part of our faith? Is that a legitimate way to interpret our scriptures? And we've been doing it since, you know, 1517 with Martin Luther. Now, before we go, we only got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to show you guys a website that I bumped into. Let me share my screen here. That didn't do it. Why am I not sharing my screen? Oh, I know why I'm not sharing my screen. I'm not sharing my screen. It's because I got kicked. I kicked stuff out. Now I can share my screen. There we go. It's called the Islam Research Group. The guy that runs this was interviewed the other day by Jay Smith, and he did he compared and contrasted a lot of the teachings that we find in Islam versus what we find in the Judeo-Christian traditions. And his argument was basically what you had developed here, the early origins of Islam were from heretical sects, from Christianity and Judaism. Now, I don't know if I agreed with everything he did, but I went to this website. If you go to this website here, he's got all kinds of resources, and what brought this to mind was Rad was talking about the different caliphates and when they ruled. Oops. Hold on. There it is. They have this here. They have these charts here on this website. So you can see, you know, who was ruling and which region of the world were they ruling in. They also have charts as timelines. They have charts of the references to Muhammad. They have all kinds of small books here that the Reader's Companion, that's 700 pages. That's not a small book. But, I mean, like this one is who wrote the Quran. I mean, this is only, what, 20 – or there's – let's see, there's one, two – there's 11 books here. And each one's about 20 pages long, 25 pages long. It takes you about an hour to go through each one. So if you're interested in a very rich resource as far as learning about the historic Islam, historicity of it, having these graphics, I mean, it's all free of charge. I would recommend going to this. It's called Islam Research Group, .com. And there's a lot of great free resources there for just the lay reader to look at. Can I? Yes. Let me do this. I'm going to put it here. There we go. I put it in chat, and then let me go ahead. I'm going to put it in the private chat because – oops. No. That's the wrong one. I'm sorry. Golly. You got your act together. Here we go. Speaking of which, what were we going to – let's see. We were going to – oh, wait a second here. what is this? It got bumped. No, I guess not. Okay. So I just put it in chat. Let me put it in private chat, too, for you guys that are here in the studio. It's in private chat. IslamResearchGroup.com. Great resource. What were you saying about – oh, you were talking about Kevin. You're talking about Kevin. Okay, never mind. Oh, okay. We were going to work on – we're actually looking at a new sponsor. And I'm not let's not talk about it, Rad, because we want to make sure that we don't want anybody contacting them to let them know where this is from. Are you leaving? No, my grandson just came. Hold on, just let me give him a hug. Hold on, that's it. All righty, buddy, I love you. We'll see you. All right. Did you have fun today? All right. Yeah. Okay. All right, buddy. We'll see you. Yeah, sorry about that. Where did Connie go? She jumped out. See ya. Oh, there she is. She just jumped back in. Maybe she wanted to be able to not hear an echo.
Let me just mention the new product. It's the new coffee creamer of Muslims by Choice. Okay. Seriously, it's invigorating.
All right, it scares me just hearing that. Okay, it's the bottom of the hour. Everybody, thank you for coming. Connie, thank you for all the information that you brought to us today. We most sincerely appreciate that.
We should have merch. We should have t-shirts that say Islam is murder.
Well, she had the guy up here. What the heck was it? We could just... I don't know. Maybe we should.
That's what the Quran talks about. So,
yeah. Okay. Look at. Okay. Rob's trying to get. Okay, Rob. We cannot source. We cannot give out our sources here. Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right, everybody. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And we will see you all Sunday. Everybody in chat that came today, thank you. You're all a lot of fun to see your comments and your contributions there. And we'll see you Sunday. God bless y'all.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Dr. Kufophobia. Let me sign out of my – did I sign out of that? Ruh-roh. Did I sign? I didn't sign out. I guess I did. I did sign out of my Blog Talk Radio. What did he say? It's a website that he goes to. Let me see if I'm still broadcasting on... No, no, no. I'm on Global Patriot Radio, on Blog Talk Radio. Well, I'm just coming back to... I'm just coming back here, so I'm not sure if they got it. I'm going to have to go in and download the audio and then... upload it back. All right, folks, thanks for coming. Let me end the Oz. There we go.